Well, we're back. We're talking with Dr. Kate Rayon Blue, and we're talking about brain health. And I find it fascinating because so many people, I have a father-in-law that's having some difficulties with his memory. And I know that, you know, with the aging population, that there are so many people that, you know, are worried not only about others, but about themselves and about learning, you know, and keeping the brain healthy. And so, you know, the fact that we're talking about choline today and some of the other nutrients for brain health is, I think, really important to people. You talked about, you know, choline for, or, you know, supplements for the brain, the choline and the DHA. Are there any other specific age groups that, you know, should be taking choline on a regular basis?
Yes, definitely. Postmenopausal women, absolutely, have been shown, there's recent research to show that only 2% of postmenopausal women are actually meeting the required intake for choline. Now, that's not because their diets suddenly change at menopause, but something happens when estrogen levels change at menopause. It actually changes the way the body is able to utilize choline, and the requirements go up. So for women before menopause who have higher estrogen levels, the body uses choline very efficiently, and so they don't need very much. And studies have shown that after menopause, only 2% of women are actually getting the amount of choline that they need, which means 98% of women need more from their diet. They're not getting enough. And when you're not getting enough choline, then that has serious implications for liver health, brain health, and cardiovascular health. And studies have shown it doesn't take very long to start to suffer organ damage, especially to the liver, if your choline intake isn't sufficient.
Tell us a little bit about what happens to the liver. You know, what are some of the issues, you know, with a shortage of choline to the liver? And also, what do people notice when they start taking choline? Do they feel better?
Some people might. So what choline does with the liver is it helps metabolize fat. So when choline levels are too low or deficient, then you will start to see an accumulation of fats in the liver. This is called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Now, this is actually quite a common condition, and it in itself usually doesn't cause any symptoms, but people may notice this when they go for a checkup, they have a blood test, and they're told that their liver enzymes are elevated. This can eventually lead to serious problems with how the liver works, and it is a condition that is actually quite easily remedied with choline by increasing your intake of choline. And as well, as we were saying before, choline has other implications in terms of brain health and cardiovascular. So there's lots of roles that choline plays, and it is a nutrient, as we're saying, in the B vitamin family. It's an essential nutrient, and yet one that most people probably, you know, possibly haven't heard of and aren't really aware of. It's not really on the radar.
And what about cardiovascular? What does choline do for the heart?
Specifically, choline helps to lower homocysteine levels. Now, homocysteine is a risk factor for heart disease. We know that people with high homocysteine levels are at a higher risk for heart attack and stroke, and choline has been shown to lower homocysteine. Now, we haven't seen studies specifically supplementing with choline and showing a lowering of heart attack incidence. That research has not been done yet, but the fact that choline will help you lower homocysteine, which is this big risk factor, is very positive.
Now, you know, where did people traditionally get, you know, get choline for, and did they know that they needed, you know, these foods for their intake?
Well, I don't know if people were necessarily aware of it. Traditionally, and most commonly in the North American diet, eggs and egg yolks are probably the number one source of choline. We used to eat liver, and we don't really anymore, and I suppose people do eat peanuts and peanut butter, which is a source of that. But I think that it's a nutrient that has been somewhat overlooked. Now, traditionally, diets would have had higher choline intakes for a number of reasons, and there's historic evidence to show that certain diets would have special traditional foods like fish eggs that would be very high in choline.
Is choline an expensive supplement for people to take?
It's not particularly expensive, as a matter of fact, if you want to get it that way. But I really like it combined, as we were saying before, Dave, with the healthy fats, especially the ones that are good for the brain. So, for example, herring gold, it's a supplement that's made from herring eggs. It's essentially just squashed up fish eggs. So that gives you the choline, as well as the DHA in that special form that's bound to the choline, and a number of other nutrients, like, for example, astaxanthin. That's a wonderful carotenoid pigment. It's an antioxidant that's good for the eyes and the brain. So this, to me, is a more holistic approach to getting choline, because you're really getting it from the food, and it's combined with all these other nutrients that it tends to occur with in nature. So although there are choline supplements available on the market, I really like it in this sort of food complex as it comes with in, say, herring gold.
Now, herring, you know, has been really kind of gaining popularity. Why is that?
You know, herring stocks, so typically herring products come from Norway, and so the fisheries are very sustainable to begin with, and so very planet friendly, much more so maybe than some other types of fisheries that we don't understand as well, like krill. And then in the case, for example, of the herring gold, these eggs are essentially a byproduct of the fishing industry, and so environmentally, it makes a lot of sense. Economically, it makes a lot of sense. And it's extremely nutritious, a wonderful source of the omega-3 essential fatty acids and these other nutrients we've been talking about, like choline.
Now, there are some cultures that used to eat a lot of eggs, like, you know, the Russians or so. Europeans used to have caviar, for example. Would that be high in choline as well?
It absolutely would be high in choline, and likely one of the reasons why these were such prized traditional foods and so rare and expensive is, on a certain level, because they contained special nutrients, whether people were aware of them or not. And fish eggs are still consumed in some parts of the world, you know, Russia, Scandinavia, but ultimately they're often a luxury and not necessarily available year-round, as well as difficult for people to source. I decided at some point, you know, I was looking at my diet and different nutrients and that I should really be eating fish eggs. And I had a heck of a time finding ones that I could afford and that were easy and palatable. So that's why I was pretty excited when I found basically, you know, the fish egg supplement of herring gold.
Mm-hmm. Now, what other things, you know, if you had a family member that had some learning difficulties, like say a child, would you use something like this as well?
Yes, absolutely. When kids are growing, they really benefit from that added DHA in their brains, and it seems to be designed for brain health. So wonderful for kids, as well as wonderful prenatally. So from the time of conception, when that brain is developing, both the essential fatty acids as well as the choline that we were talking about earlier on is very important for fetal development. So absolutely wonderful as a prenatal supplement, for example. That's a really important time in life when people would benefit from this.
And Dr. Kate, in terms of you know, the supplementation for children, are there any studies that show that it does work for them?
There have been a number of studies on the benefits of DHA in kids, as well as essential fatty acids in kids. Not on, say, that the fish eggs per se, but it's easy to extrapolate in terms of the benefits of the healthy fats to the brain.
Mm. If you had a you know, a loved one or a, you know, a senior that was experiencing difficulty with memory, what would you recommend in terms of a whole lifestyle?
Oh, a whole lifestyle. Well, that combines all the things that I've already spoken about, making sure that the person, first of all, is socializing, not isolated, you know, social contact every day, as much of the day as possible, being physically active, because that's so important for the brain, as well as being mentally active. And then looking at their diet to make sure there aren't any empty calories, that it's not the toast and tea syndrome that we sometimes hear about with seniors, that they're eating nutritious foods to help feed their brain, and not leaving that to chance, to look at supplementation with the kinds of nutrients that especially feed the brain, things, you know, that we've been talking about, like the essential fatty acids, choline, B12, all of these kinds of things that really are critical for brain health.
Is there a relationship between our sugar intake and our brain health?
Absolutely. you know, sometimes now, even in the scientific literature, Alzheimer's is referred to as type 3 diabetes or diabetes of the brain. And that's because the brain is a very energy-hungry organ, and it likes sugar, but it has no way to protect itself from having too much sugar. And as a matter of fact, studies have shown that the higher your blood sugar levels are, the greater your risk of Alzheimer's. So, of course, diabetics are higher risk for Alzheimer's disease, but even among non-diabetics, those people with higher blood sugar have higher rates of dementia. So it's so important to keep your blood sugar down. And if we all ate as if we were diabetics, it would be a good thing for our brains.
In terms of sugar for kids, is there any research showing that that makes a difference as well?
I can't say I'm up on the research in terms of kids' brain functioning with sugar. We absolutely know there's an epidemic of childhood obesity, and that kids' sugar intake is higher than it ever has, and that is not good for a number of aspects of children's health as well as adult health, and of course increases their risk of diabetes. I wouldn't be surprised if it affects brain function, and you know, most parents will comment that their kids kind of go crazy after being on sugar, but I don't know if there's necessarily research to back up that kind of common sense experience.
Dr. Kate, as a naturopathic physician, I'm sure you see people that are, you know, coming in to protect their brain health, and you're talking to them about lowering their blood sugars. Are these diabetic pops of any aid in that aspect?
Oh, you mean unsweetened or artificially sweetened kind of drinks?
Yes.
No, we got to stay away from those. I mean, that's, I don't know if it's out of the frying pan into the fire with artificial sweeteners. We just have to wean ourselves from the sweet taste. Trying to replace those has not been shown to be beneficial for either brain health or weight. Ironically, people who drink diet soda tend to weigh more and put on more weight than those that drink regular soda. And so that is definitely not the solution.
Dr. K, we only have a couple minutes left, and I'm wondering if you can sum up what we talked about and then tell people where they can get some more information.
Sure. Well, basically, it's good to know that you can be proactive about your brain health the way you are proactive about heart health and other aspects of health, and that comes from a combination of physical activity, brain activity, socializing, and then feeding your brain with key nutrients. That's above and beyond a healthy diet with a wide variety of foods that's low in sugar. If people are looking for more information or want to contact me, they can reach me at www.drkatend.com, or they can get more information about choline and herring gold that we were speaking about at www.naturalfactors.com.
Dr. Kate, I'm always interested in finding out, what you're researching next. What is, what are you thinking about in terms of your research now?
Well, I have to say, Dave, that, brain health has really caught my attention for a number of reasons. Originally, dementia prevention, but I'm surprised at the number of people coming out to these talks more so for example, concussion recovery and recovery from brain injury. So that's an area that's pretty fascinating to me now.
Yeah, and you talked about how choline can really make a big difference for that. So thanks for coming on the show today. It's been great having you.
You're welcome, Dave. Great to be here.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about pain and how you can reduce it with Rosemary Pierce, our holistic pharmacist.